Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
This morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about freedom. We're in a series of messages we started last Sunday on living the Christian life, kind of giving some definition to what the Christian life is all about. And I can tell you this morning, the Christian life is about freedom. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. In that magnificent passage that actually comes from the book of Isaiah, and Jesus picked up on it in Nazareth, and he proclaimed that he is preaching liberty, freedom for the captives. That is such a beautiful description of the Christian life, that our Lord wants to come and set us free from the captivity, or the slavery, as Paul calls it, of sin and death. I'm thankful this morning that I'm free from the sting of death. Isn't that what he says? Oh, death, where is thy sting? I hope those of you that love the King James just heard that. Thy sting. Galatians chapter 5 is my text, one verse this morning. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you allow me the glorious privilege of unpackaging your word once again. I thank you for the clarity of this verse. I thank you for the reality of this verse. I pray this morning that by your Spirit that you would teach us. That was your promise, that you would guide us into all truth. Help us this morning, Lord, to get beyond all the stuff that we've planned for this weekend and everything that has gone on the past week, and to be in this moment for a few moments in your word. Bless us with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to get specific about freedom because there's so many different aspects. Whoops, went the wrong way. Let's try this way. There we go. Again, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I want to talk to you this morning about the problem of freedom. You say, wow, what can be difficult about freedom? What could be a problem about freedom? Well, I had several, but I just narrowed it down for the sake of time and energy to three. There's a paragraph in the Declaration of Independence, actually the second paragraph, that says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A couple moments here today, please allow me to just remind you of problems that exist in freedom. You know these. This is nothing new. Just a reminder on this holiday weekend. Because, see, perhaps we who are part of the kingdom of God can make a difference in the freedom in our country. As I read that paragraph, and I think of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I'm very aware of a Supreme Court decision of this last week where the challenging of the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade, all that business. I'm not trying to step into your politics or a social issue, But I do think it's interesting that the conflict is really between life and liberty. You know, my choice, a baby's life. It's amazing to me of how we get so drawn to our freedoms that we forget the other costs. And that takes me to my first point here this morning. The problem with freedom is that it comes at a very high price. Again, this is nothing new. We say this and we realize this, but I think over and over and over again, we need to rehearse it. We need to keep it before ourselves. We need to be making certain that our children understand the price of freedom. It didn't just happen. It came at the cost of many lives. Revolutionary War started in 1775 and ended October 14, 1781. It cost $134,645,177. Say, well, that doesn't sound too much in today's world. Well, if you brought it to today's dollars, it would be in the trillions. 200,000 men fought. 4,044 were killed, 6,004 were wounded. It was one thing for those men to sit down and write a Declaration of Independence. It's another thing for them to publish it and put it out there. They put their own lives at risk in doing it. But then men, young men, had to stand up and fight in order for it to be a reality. Robert McCracken says, "We on this continent should never forget that men first crossed the Atlantic not to find soil for their plows, but to secure liberty for their souls." I say that again because I think it bears a reaction. We on this continent should never forget that men first crossed the Atlantic not to find soil for their plows, but to secure liberty for their souls. It was the objective of the pilgrims, the Huguenots. I can go on and on and on through the list of individuals who boarded ships, took month after month after month in order to come here, not just for a new place to farm, because most all of them were farmers, not just for a new place to farm, but for a new place to worship freely. As Christians, we owe our freedom first to Jesus. Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He wants us to be free. I believe that the blessing that the Lord placed on the United States of America has more to do with spiritual freedom than it does any other freedoms. Because His people have served Him under many different forms of government throughout the ages. So it is not that He was restrained in any way from being the God of a people because of their government. But His desire for the free spread of the gospel message in the last days took a country like this one. So you can think what you desire, but I believe that the purpose and the manifestation of God's presence in this country has been for the free spread of the gospel message. You see, the Son of God came down. He came down from deity. He came down from heaven. He came down to be a son of man. That is an incredible condescension, to go from deity to manhood. But He came down. He came down to be tempted as all points as we are. He came down to suffer humility and the agony of men, experiencing all the garbage that we go through as men and women. He came down to be separated from God the Father by sin, not his, our sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was his cry from the cross. He came down to die for the sins of men who were not worthy. That's us. He came down to die on a cross, the most hideous form of death in that day. Why? Because he desired to bring us to freedom. Again, I say the problem with freedom is that it comes at a very high price. God himself came down to give us freedom. Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I think we forget the first part. There is a cost to walking in the freedom of the Lord. There is a cost. Not that he hasn't paid the price, but for us to walk with the Lord, Jesus said, if a man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That freedom of walking in the Lord has a price. In John 8:36, I quoted it a moment ago, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There is a true freedom in walking in the Lord that you cannot find in any other way in this life. But walking with the Lord has a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. You've heard this from me many times. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The freedom that we have before us in the Lord has a price. It's not free. You say, well, but Pastor, grace, yes, praise God. He is seeking us out and he is offering to us incredible blessing. Not because we deserve it, but because of his grace. But if we're going to walk with him and walk in his freedom, it's going to cost us something. Just as it has cost an enormous, enormous amount for us to have freedom in this country. Second part, problem with freedom. It's hard to keep. When I saw this slide, the intersection of church and state, we're hearing this over and over and over again now. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. Is it separation from the church from the state or from the state from the church? The argument back and forth. But everybody agrees there should be a separation of the two. In other words, we cannot have the state dictating what the church does and says, on and on. You notice with me the difficulty that exists in maintaining our freedom to worship the Lord. Little by little, statute by statute, law by law, the government reaching in to proclaim more and more of the territory of the church. You may or may not be aware of it, but in almost every, according to, anyway, I can't think of the title of it, Freedom America or something or other, they fight for our rights here in the Indiana State House, and according to them, they stand, he comes and gives a report every year at our district council, and he stood up at our district council and he said, every single year now, every single year, there is a bill that comes before the Indiana House of Representatives to tax the church. I will be the first to note and to realize there are so many of particularly mainline institutions, denominations, who have bought up enormous amounts of ground and are holding that in trust. And it's put things into a difficult place. I will own that portion. But do you realize churches such as this cannot and will not exist if there is a taxation upon the property? This is 11 acres of ground and a $6.5 million assessment. You can imagine what the taxation would be. And yet every single year, there's a bill before our state wanting to take taxes from the church. That's not just about money, folks. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I believe that the working of the enemy in COVID and all that was wrapped into that, I just hear constantly over and over and over again. Larry was just telling me this morning that Gus out in Dakota, right? In the Dakotas, you know, wanted to have teams come in to do work as they have done for years. And the tribes have stopped all of that because of COVID. You know, in the name, if you will, of other things, liberties of the church and the ability of the church to reach out and to minister has been hindered. We've had enormous numbers of our missionaries that have not been able to get to the field because they couldn't go around an itinerate or they couldn't get a visa into the countries because some of them are still closed. Even though COVID has passed, the doors are still shut on them. I'm telling you this morning, it's hard to keep the freedom that we have. Apostle Paul used these words. He said, stand fast. Stand fast. Get a hold. Realize that freedom is gone. You see, I'm old enough that I remember when they took the Bible out of school. How was that even possible? It was possible because the church just stood on the sidelines and did nothing. No, I'm not calling you to march. We never even had prayer meetings over it. We did not realize that there was a power in one woman in Texas who raised a ruckus over the fact that there was a Bible handed to her child in the third grade or whatever it was. And she raised a ruckus and ended up getting the Bibles taken out of all the schools across the country. See, there's a place where we have to stand firm in our freedom and hold and realize the enemy is trying to steal that freedom. The freedom that we have to meet here, we say, oh, hey, there's no problem. I mean, this is, you know, this will go on forever. There's no guarantee of that. There are always adversaries to freedom. Misunderstanding, fear, prejudice, selfishness. It even goes to nations and people groups. The Chinese government, the Russian government, many of the Eastern Bloc countries and also Middle East countries are scared to death of Christianity because of the power of freedom that is part of our lives as believers. Freedom and Christianity go together because Christ set us free. We got to realize, you think, oh, it'll always be this way in the United States. No, not unless believers stand up to say, we're going to keep our freedoms. Again, I'm not telling you to go and march. I'm not certain how much marching does. There's just a lot of that that goes on. I'm saying our most effective tool is prayer. But if we're not fighting that battle in prayer, if we're not on our knees praying for our country, God, keep our freedoms. Let our children be able to hear about you in our schools. I'm very thankful when I hear in the school system here in Lawrence County where, you know, different things are being salted in and things. Praise God for that. But realize it's not a given that it will always be that way unless the church stands fast, stands strong. Are you with me? Spiritual freedom takes constant vigilance. For you and I to walk in spiritual freedom, we must work at it. Isn't that strange? To have freedom, you have to work at it. But that's the reality of freedom, folks. Paul says, stand firm. Against what? Against the adversaries of our freedom. Scripture tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, standing against false doctrines and teachings, no matter how convenient they may seem to be. It's got to be a demand of your spirit. It's got to be a demand of your life. How are you going to take your stand? You're going to take your stand by saying, this book is important. I pray to God that whoever you get as your next pastor, that the most important thing to him is that he's coming out of this book. I was reading this morning in Hezekiah's day, or Uzziah's day, I'm sorry. Uzziah, and he was... You know, he's cleaning up everything because he had zeal for the Lord. And as they're cleaning out the temple, they run across a book. And they read the book a little bit and they said, oh, the king needs to see this. And so they bring it into Uzziah. And when he begins to read it, he realizes it's the word of the Lord, and he tore his robes. This has been buried away. You say, oh, that can never happen. It can happen. It's important for us to deal with social issues along the way as we look into the Word of God and as they're uncovered for us by the Spirit of the Lord. But our text, our life needs to come and flow out of this book. We need to be studying it. I'm going to say that again, just in hope for an amen. I said, we need to be studying it at a personal level and a corporate level. We need to be learning from one another in and through the Word of God. It's complicated. It's difficult. It takes time. It takes effort. But folk, it is our freedom. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? My word is truth, Jesus said. I am the truth, Jesus said. He is the living word. It's imperative that we reach out and take hold. You see, the difficulty is this, and I've shared this with those with the guys and gal on the nominating committee for your next pastor. If you let this thing become a personality thing, to just bring in somebody that you like, it can be disastrous for this church. This person has got to come in with a determination upon the Word of God. A determination to give you truth, whether it hurts, whether it feels good, whether you like them on a particular Sunday or you don't, that the Word of God is allowed to come forth and shine. Amen. And I can tell you from 40 years of experience and moving out of churches that I pioneered and watching the next person come in and see congregations react to them for the wrong reasons. You have to stand firm for truth Your truth will bring you the freedom that you desire. It's a reality. Ephesians 6:17 says, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. You see, my prayer is that if God is willing and I live another 20 years, that I'm hearing reports of people being saved. I'm hearing reports of God's moving in this congregation. I'm hearing reports of the gospel message going out of here all over the world, because, see, I know by the mandate of the Holy Spirit that that is God's intentions for this place. Whether we feel good, whether we enjoy ourselves, those things are great and they're secondary. But the real key is the gospel being preached, and is it going forth from this church? Stand firm. Stand firm, or your freedom in the Word of God will be taken. You don't even have to believe me. It's that true. The third problem is this. Third problem with freedom is your freedom affects my freedom. This is what's getting messy in our country. Because we've come to this place. Paul says it like this. He says, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of bondage. In other words, other people and other people's thoughts and other people's ways of doing things and the collective form, if you will, of our society will begin to change. I have seen in the last 44 years of pastoring, I have seen so incredible, so many changes take place and be accepted by the church that were anathema when I began. Things regarding relationships, things regarding sexuality, things regarding life that were not even questions. They weren't even on the table as questions when I started pastoring. And today, they're not allowed to be a question on the table. Because you were unjust if you mentioned them. I'll tell you this morning, no matter where you stand, I am against abortion because it is a life. You say, but what about a woman's choice? I'm all for a woman's choice. She needs to choose whether or not she's going to bed with somebody. It was a reality for generations, and it should be a reality today. I know. You're trying to steal my freedom. No. I'm trying to give freedom to a little baby. We're killing another generation of children. And the church needs to take a stand in prayer. In the passage, the Judaizers were trying to impose laws upon the Mosaic laws upon the Gentile believers. They were trying to steal their freedoms. They were pushing the adherence to the letter of the law. They were compelling the church to celebrate the Jewish feasts. They were causing the Gentile Christians to be burdened by things that took away their freedom of worship and expression. I love music. Killed those two lights, didn't I? I love music. But I've watched over the generation of my lifetime as a believer, as music has become a god unto itself within the church. It has taken our freedom of worship. Something that can be so precious and add to our ability to worship has in many cases taken worship from the church. because the church, and I don't mean this to be critical, but it is a reality, stop the music and try to get people to praise the Lord. And if we can dig out a minute or a minute and a half, we have really done something. And it should tell us something. That the only way that we can worship the Lord is if somebody else is creating an atmosphere. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth, Jesus said. Is there a reality inside your spirit? Do you have spiritual freedom inside of you to be able to truly worship the Lord, whether these folks are playing their instruments or whether you're just standing in the midst of God's people to worship and to praise and to glorify His name? We're seeing a crippling of the ability of the church to pray with any longevity. Again, 2 or 3 minutes, bounce down prayers, sentence prayers, and we're off and we're running onto other things because we're free. Be careful of our freedom. Be careful because it can steal the realities. Your freedom affects my freedom. Freedom in our country dictates the consideration of others many times over ourselves. Listen to this. Helen Douglas, in a speech before Congress in 1945, said, "It is not easy to be a free man. To be free, you must afford freedom to your neighbor, regardless of race, color, creed, or national origin, and that sometimes for some is very difficult. I've witnessed, because we have these social platforms, and I've talked to you about this before, because we're free to be able to put all of our thoughts right out there for everybody, Christians annihilating other people. And then their next post is some really cute little thing about Jesus or whatever. We're missing it. My freedom affects you. Your freedom affects me. But keep that in mind, that when we are expressing our freedom, what effect is that having? What effect is that having on our spiritual lives? What effect is that having on their spiritual life? There is, and I'll say this with all confidence, there is no place for a believer who really knows the Lord to be saying nasty and inappropriate things online or in person about our president or anyone else. My Bible says that the whole law of God is summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. But I'm free. I can do this. As fast as my little fingers and my thumbs will type. Sure you can, but it's going to affect other people. What you write as a believer is going to have an effect, not just on their politics, but upon their spiritual journey. Because they may very well be looking to you of what does a Christian look like. And they'll think, yes, you say, yes, praise God for the freedom that I have in the Lord. Don't let that freedom include things that should not be there. Because you are the example of a believer to others. In person, online, and in every form, we need to be showing our freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. I back up again. See, freedom costs. What is the cost? The cost is sometimes you're going to have to keep your thoughts to yourself. Because it's going to have an effect upon somebody else. because you are a believer and you're Christ-like. You're taking a stand for Christ and people are watching your life. So what you say, what you do, what you leave behind on the internet will be there forever and ever. So we need to realize, be careful with my freedom, because it's going to have an effect upon somebody else. You see, it's the same thing here in the body of Christ. I have found this to be true, that when one person is leading, they want everybody to follow. Why aren't people coming to our meeting? We're having a women's meeting. Why aren't they all coming to our meeting? And then somebody else has their meeting and that leader doesn't show up. Well, I'm not involved with that. No. But what you do in supporting one person supports another. Huh? You see, so freedom affects other people. My freedom affects other people. It's like having bad breath. Huh? Don't be patting him. That wasn't very nice. He just patted his son. What a terrible thing. I saw that. That was horrible. You know, it's your privilege if you want to have bad breath. But keep your distance from people. It's your privilege if you want to be nasty in your thoughts and in your words over people in the government and all that kind of stuff. But just do it out in the middle of a woods someplace. Because your freedom is affecting other people. Does this make sense? I think I'm telling you things this morning that you already know. Freedom costs. If we want to keep our freedom, we've got to stand firm in it, or else it's gone. My kids and my grandkids had to grow up without going to weekly religious education. I think that's what we called it. Every Friday, we got to go out to a little, in my school, we got to go out to a little trailer out there, one by class after class after class, and we got to go out there, and the Gideons would come in and they would hand out the Bibles, the little New Testaments, every single year. And what that was grand, wasn't it? How many experienced that? But my kids, my grandkids didn't get to experience that, because one crazy woman, who by the time she died recanted that, but the church stood on the sideline. Follow what I'm saying? Our freedoms have got to be protected. Our freedoms, we've got to realize my freedom to be able to do something does not necessarily mean that I should do it, because it may have an effect upon other people. Well, I'm done. You knew that. We're thankful for our freedom. But freedom, both social and spiritual, takes our attention. I hope that you're wise enough to understand these aren't just words of the preacher. This is reality. Our freedom costs a lot. The spiritual freedom that we have in the Lord was not free. Jesus paid. There are adversaries working every single day to take away your spiritual freedom and your freedom as a citizen. You're going to have to stand firm and realize just because you're free doesn't mean you can do everything and anything you want. It affects other people. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Help us, O Lord, to stand firm and not be captured again by the bondages of this world. Whether those freedoms be ugliness, meanness, whatever they may be. Help us, O Lord, to remain free. For whom the Son set free is free indeed. We should be showing the world how to live free with character, with firmness. Thank you this morning for the freedoms that we still have in this country, spiritual freedoms, that we could gather in this house today without fear, but just come together in fellowship. Thank you for this privilege. Help us, O Lord, to stand firm and protect it. May we realize that freedom costs a heavy price. It must be protected. And it has to take other people's freedom into account. In Jesus' name. I do want to ask this morning if there's anybody in this room you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. He wants to take away your sin. The Apostle Paul says that we are slaves to sin if we are walking without the Lord. He wants to set you free. He wants to come into your heart and be the Lord and master of your life. And you can know a freedom in the Lord like nothing you've ever known before. I would just ask, is there anybody here in the house? You'd lift up a hand and say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus as my Savior. I need His freedom in my life. Is there anyone? I want to pray with you. Most important invitation you'll get all week is the invitation to come to know Jesus as your Savior. Anyone? And church, stand with me and let me pray God's blessing over you before we leave the house. Father, I thank you this morning that we had this hour to come and just be together, to be together in your presence, to lift songs before your throne, to reach out, to embrace truth from your word, to let your Holy Spirit speak into us as we serve one another. Bless us now as we leave this house and go about this day. Tomorrow, if we're off, God, may it just be a relaxing time for your children. Keep everyone safe. And may your blessings go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. So let it be. God bless you all.